Malachim Beis, Perek Yud Tes, Pasuk Aleph. So Rav Shakeh has blasphemed against HaKadosh Baruch Hu loudly and with increasing ferocity in Hebrew in the hearing of all of the people of Yerushalayim who are there at the walls, gathered together, clustered there to hear about what's happening with this massive army of Ashur that is right outside the walls. The officials that Chizkiyah has sent to, as it were, negotiate or conduct diplomacy with the emissaries of Sancheirev have come back with torn clothing. And now they report to Chizkiyah the words of blasphemy that Rav Shakeh has uttered that we saw ourselves in the Psukim. Bayi kishmoa hamelech Chizkiyahu. And so it was when King Chizkiyahu heard what Rav Shakeh had said, Vayikra es bigodav, he tore his clothing out of mourning, out of grief from hearing this blasphemy of Hashem. Not only those who hear the blasphemy from the mouth of a Jew, but those who hear the report about it from the eyewitnesses, from the onlookers, tear their clothes as well. But second of all, to evoke the rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a sort of davening, as a sort of tefillah, together with the other tefillos that they are going to daven at this point to Hashem to save them. By Yiskas Basak, and he covered himself in sackcloth, also an act of mourning of the time. By Yavo Beis Hashem, and he came to the temple, he came to the Beis HaMikdash, to the house of God. And he is then going to declare this a national disaster, as we'll see in the upcoming Psukim. Beis Vayishlaches El Yochim Asher Al Habayis. And so the two of the three officials who had been there, El Yochim and the Shebna HaSofer, the Eis Ziknei HaKohanim, and all the elders of the Kohanim as well, Miskasim Basakim, they covered themselves in sackcloth as a mark of open public mourning and humility before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Think about Nineveh, after Yonah gives the word of what's going to happen to them, where all the people were covered in sackcloth and mourned together as a tzibur. And they went, El Yishayahu Hanavi ben Amotz, to Yishayah ben Amotz, the prophet. Now, why do Rav Shakeh's words have such incredible impact? Many of them are bluster and many of them are illogical. So for example, he taunted them that they would die of hunger and thirst. That was the Tsoa and the Meraglayim part. But in the meantime, in Yehuda, in Yerushalayim, they had plenty of food stores. They had diverted the river into the city. We mentioned that great channel of Chizkiyah that had been dug. There was a limitless supply of water. The ones with no water to drink were the people of the army of Ashur. He mocked Yehuda early on, a couple of days ago, for their lack of horses and horsemen. But what do you need horses for when you're behind giant walls? You're defending against the siege. A horse is just something that's going to eat you out of all your food. What do you need a horse for? You have to give them so much water and food to keep them alive. Most of the arguments Rav Shakeh made, that God was angry that they had torn down the bamos, that God can't save Klal Yisrael because the other gods couldn't save their lands, the other gods are specious. The other gods don't exist. Why are they so unsettled? So it seems, according to one version of the Gemara that is not in all the mainstream versions of the Gemara, but there is a Gemara that says, we'll see shortly that Chizkiyah is going to get rebuked by Yeshayah in Sefer Yeshayah. In Divrei Yamin, they talk about this, that Chizkiyah had not gotten married. Why not? So we know that the Medrash and all the other sources tell us that Chizkiyah foresaw the wicked offspring he was going to have, in particular the terrible King Menashe, who undid all the good that Chizkiyah had done. He becomes deathly ill right during this siege, and it's a heaven-sent illness because he has refused to have children and he didn't want to have Menashe. And basically, Yeshayah told him, let the chips fall where they may. You do your job. God will handle his side of it. But you do your job. And eventually, he heeded the words of the Navi Yeshayah, married Yeshaya's daughter, became his son-in-law. Yeshaya became the grandfather of the next king, Menasheh. But we see that in this alternate version of the Gemara, it says in the end, the Navi Yeshaya gave his daughter as a wife to Chizkiah and gave birth to two sons, Menasheh, who succeeded Chizkiah to the throne, and Rav Shakeh, who may have been Chizkiah's younger son, which according to the timeline of that version of the Gemara would place him approximately at age 14 at the time that he came and made these speeches as a renegade Jew. So he's over bar mitzvah, so he's responsible for what he does, and he has the incredible emo strong feelings and harsh speech of a teenager. He's a horrible adolescent when he comes forward and says these terrible things. One day Chizkiah was carrying his boys on his shoulders. One of them said, "Father's head would be suitable for roasting a small fish." The other boy said, "Abba's head is suitable for offering a carbon to an Avodah Zarah." So they were saying Chizkiah had a big head. But one of them said you could fry a fish on it, and one of them said you could bring Avodah Zarah on it. When Chizkiah heard this, he cast them down to the ground and tried to kill them. Now, the commentators on that version of the Gemara, the Ion Yaakov, the Ein Yaakov, Ben Yehoyada, explain it's only allegorical. Chizkiah would not have tried to kill small boys for being insulting and rude, but he saw early on that these boys were headed for no good, and he lost hope that they would follow in his footsteps, and he gave up on trying to raise them properly because they were a lost cause, you know, like the Ben Sora Remora. So according to this tradition, Chizkiah's own son, Rav Shakeh, eventually ran away from home, ended up in Ashur, and then came and disowned his faith, renounced his Judaism, and said terrible things. And the Gemara says Rav Shakeh died, but the dying is allegorical. It's how an apostate is viewed in Jewish literature. So the Aramaic translation, the Medrash Eicha, says that Chizkiah had a son, Rav Shakeh, who became a mumar. So this is why he spoke so well. This is why he reached a senior position, even among the Ashur hierarchy, because he was the son of a king, according to this tradition, which may or may not be 100% accurate. But imagine the people of Yerushalayim hearing such terrible things from the mouth of a former prince. It would shake them dreadfully. He's a turncoat. He did the unthinkable. He joined the powerful enemy. The boy who fantasized about practicing Avodah Zarah on Chizkiah's head was Rav Shakeh, who joined the idolatrous Assyrians. So, many say that Rav Shakeh is going to die when the rest of Ashur and the army die in what's coming. But Chizkiah had tremendous disappointment in this boy. And this boy represented a powerful threat. So when he is telling the Jews, "Join me," some say that one of the Jewish officials, maybe Shebna, was alleged to have been a turncoat as well and shot an arrow saying, "Chizkiah will not obey you, but Shebna would." That's an interesting story in and to itself. The lack of loyalty and the fear and the difficulty Klal Yisrael had remaining with Achdus in the face of this threat. But you can see why Chizkiah then tore his clothes and wore sackcloth. Not just out the idea of blasphemy, but also possibly because he was in a manner of speaking sitting Shiva for his own son, who had betrayed him and all of Klal Yisrael. That would make him also a member of Malchus Beis David, which is even worse, to think of a person with such great lineage and potential who was wrong from the beginning and never quite right.